All right, so in Megumi's talk this morning, she introduced flag varieties and Schubert varieties and defined these and stated some facts about them. So what I'm going to talk about in this talk is the cohomology of these flag varieties. So Alex gave some motivation this morning about why we care about this. For instance, we can use this to solve this classical problem of how many lines intersect four generic lines in CP3. So this is an interesting object to study, and we can say quite a bit about this and get really sort of a concrete handle on this object. So I'm going to start off by stating some basic facts about cohomology that we'll need. Well, I should also state, so again, a reference for this material that I'm going to present here is the same book, Young Tableau by Fulton. So a few of the sections in chapter 10. So the facts that we're going to use, so we have Y be some non-singular projective variety. And really, the variety that we'll care about today is the flag variety. So it's some nice, smooth variety. And we have the cohomology of this variety, and we're always going to talk about cohomology over the integers. And we have an intersection pairing. So it takes an element from the cohomology in degree D1 and an element from the cohomology in degree D2 and gives us some element in the degree D1 plus D2 part of the cohomology. So this is the intersection pairing. And it's bilinear. And really, this is what we're going to be interested in today, is this multiplicative structure of the cohomology ring of the flag variety. So we're going to give an explicit basis for this cohomology, a basis over Z, and then we're going to explore this multiplication structure. So in order to describe this basis and say some things about this multiplication, we need a few more basic facts. So first of all, that if we have some irreducible subvariety, Z, sitting inside Y, so the example you should keep in mind are the Schubert varieties. So these are some subvarieties sitting inside our flag variety. Any time we have some subvariety, some irreducible subvariety, it defines some cohomology class. And I should say that the subvariety should be of codimension D. And whenever I talk about dimension in this talk, it's going to be complex dimension. So this is complex codimension D. We get some class, which we'll denote as the class of this subvariety, sitting inside the cohomology, and it has degree 2D. Right? So basically, we'll see that the basis for cohomology that we're going to get are these classes that exactly correspond to the various Schubert varieties in the flag variety. So another fact that we need is that if the dimension of Y is capital N, then the top cohomology, the degree 2N part, is just the integers. And its generator is this class corresponding to just some point in our variety. Third fact is that if we have two subvarieties that have complementary dimension, so their dimensions add up to the dimension of Y, and so then what can we do? So we can take the product of these, the classes corresponding to these two subvarieties. And since they have complementary dimension, the product is going to land in exactly this top dimensional homology of our variety, which is just the integers. And there's some nice geometric explanation for what integer we get. So if these intersect or meet transversely at T points, then the product in this cohomology ring of their classes is just t. And we'll denote this by angle bracket. So the product of these two classes will be t. Fourth fact. So we can use this first fact to get classes in our cohomology ring. But how do we know that we have enough classes? So we want to know that we have, say, classes, enough classes that will give us a basis of this cohomology. So this is where we need the following facts. So suppose we have some filtration. So y equal y0, which contains y1, etc., down to some ys, which is just the empty set. And each of these yi is some closed algebraic subset of y. And furthermore, suppose that if we take any one of these steps in this filtration and take away the step below it, the difference between any two steps should just be some union of affine subsets. So this should be a disjoint union of affine spaces. So by affine, so we'll have some number of them. For any step I, we have, say, some indices j, we get some affine subspaces, all isomorphic, just c to some power that will depend on I and j. Then what we can conclude is that if we take these affine spaces and we take their closure, and we take the union over all I and j, we get a basis for our cohomology. So this gives us yields an additive basis. For the cohomology of our space. And this is exactly going to be our strategy for the flag variety. We're going to give some filtration like this, and then really these classes are going to exactly be the classes of Schubert varieties, and we'll be able to use this property to know that we have a basis for the cohomology of the flag variety. So we need one final fact now, is that if we have some continuous map between two spaces, then this induces a pullback homomorphism from the cohomology of y to the cohomology of x. All right, so these are the general facts about cohomology that we're going to use. So now let's be more concrete and narrow our focus and think about the flag variety. So remember what the flag variety is. So I'm going to use some slightly different notation. So I think Megumi denoted this FLCM. I'll just denote it F sub M. This is the full flag variety. So I'll denote flags by a little bullet. So this is E1 sitting inside E2, etc., up to EM, which will just be M-dimensional complex space. And the dimension of each step, the I step will be I. All right, so we have this flag variety. So remember, as Mugubi mentioned, this is split into Schubert cells. So let's recall the definition briefly of a Schubert cell. So we want to fix some flag. So we'll call it F for fixed flag. So this will be some F1 sitting inside F2 sitting inside Fm. And let's be even more concrete. So Fi is just the space spanned by the first I standard basis elements of Cm, right? So Cm just has the usual standard basis. And the Schubert cells really just split up this flag variety by telling us how our flag E intersects this fixed flag. Right? It tells us the dimensions in which we intersect this flag. So remember that if we had some permutation in Fm, the Schubert variety, or the Schubert cell, I should say, right, we're not taking the closure yet, is defined as all those flags sitting inside this flag variety where we know their dimensions of intersection with this fixed flag. So the dimension of EP intersect EQ was the number of I less than or equal to P such that W of I was less than or equal to Q for all P and Q. So what will be important for us will be this more concrete presentation. So, I mean, this explicitly defines it, but maybe when you see this condition, it's not so easy to picture exactly what's going on. So we had this nice presentation in terms of these matrices. So remember, each flag in this Schubert cell has a unique presentation. Of the following form. So its pth step is spanned by the first p rows in a certain matrix. And what tells us that we're in this Schubert variety is the following. So this matrix with entries 1 in positions PWP and zeros to the right and below these entries, below these ones. Right, so let's just write an example up here on the board. So for instance, let's take the following permutation. So say W is 3, 5, 1, 4, 2, some permutation in S5. Right, so what matrix, what possible matrices do we have? Right, so we should have a 1 in entry 1, W1. W1 is just 3, so we have an entry 1 here, and we have all zeros to the right of it and below it. Right, and then where's our next 1? Our next is in position 2, W2. W2 is just 5, so we have a 1 here and 0s to the right and below. Right, and we continue in this way. So we have a 3, 1, 4, 4, and 5, 2. And we've got 0s here and here. And then we can have starred entries in any of the other, so arbitrary complex entries in any of these other positions. So these are arbitrary complex entries. Right, so what's important, and Megumi noted this, is that we get some affine space here, because any of these entries can be some arbitrary complex number, and this is a bijection between these types of matrices and flags in this cell. Right, so this cell is just some affine space, as Megumi noted, that's isomorphic to C to the length of this permutation. And our flag variety is a disjoint union of these Schubert cells. All right, and this will be very important when we want to apply this particular fact to our flag variety to get a basis for the cohomology. So we also want one more thing. We want a dual Schubert cell. So I guess Megumi called these Bruhat cells, another name for them. So I've called them Schubert cells. So we define a dual Schubert cell in exactly the same way, except that instead of forcing zeros below and to the right of each one, we force them below and to the left of each one. Right? So otherwise, it's the exact same. And we'll denote this omega W circle by forcing zeros below and this time to the left of each one in the above description. So for example, in this, if we have this exact same permutation, right now we have this matrix 0, 0, 1, star, star, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, star, 0, star, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0. Right, and remember how this matrix corresponds to a flag, right? So we have a particular matrix like this, and the ith step in the flag is just the span of the first I rows of this matrix, right? And this gives us the dual Schubert cell. So it turns out, so then we define our Schubert variety, right? So our Schubert variety was the closure of this Schubert cell. So Megumi noted that this is a union of other Schubert cells. Right, where the union is over all the permutations that are less than W in what's called the Brouhaha order. So one definition of the Brouhaha order is just this, that the Schubert variety is this union of Schubert cells. So there's also a purely combinatorial definition. So this is the Brouhaha order. So one way of stating it in purely combinatorial terms is we say that a permutation V is less than or equal to W if we can obtain V from a minimal presentation of W in terms of simple reflections, or transpositions, I should say. By deleting length of W minus length of V transpositions. Right, so it's a general fact. We know that if we have any permutation, we can write it as some product of transpositions. We take some minimal such presentation, and we can just throw out some of the transpositions, and if we get V, then V is less than W in the Brouhaha order. I mean simple transposition. I want this order. So transpositions that just interchange I and I plus 1. Right, neighboring elements. So this is a very nice result that we have some very nice combinatorial description of exactly which Schubert cells lie in the closure of a given Schubert cell, right? So, and also we'll define the dual Schubert cell just in a similar way. It's just going to be the dual Schubert variety, the closure of this dual Schubert cell, and this is the union over the larger elements. All right, so now we want to use this fact. We want to take this plan of attack. We want to give some filtration for our flag variety that satisfies these properties, and therefore using this fact, we'll have this basis for the cohomology ring. So let's define this filtration. I want to leave those on the board. So we do the following. So for D between 1 and, well, N. So N here is M times M minus 1 over 2, which is the dimension of this flag variety. So note, of course, Megumi had it as M squared minus M. That's because she had real dimension. This is complex dimension. So for any d between 1 and m, we want to define this d step in this filtration. So we define it in the following way. We let zd be the union over all the permutations with lengths less than or equal to d of the corresponding Schubert cells. right? And this is going to give us our steps in our filtration. So we can note a couple things. First of all, the closure of any Schubert cell is just a union of Schubert cells with a permutation smaller in the Bruhat order. And by this combinatorial description, we can see that if a permutation V is less than a permutation W in the Bruhat order, in particular, its length is less, right? So the closure of any of these cells contains cells that are already in this union because they have smaller length, right? So this is also a union, no longer disjoint, over the same permutations of the Schubert varieties. So the reason we want to present it in this way is we know these Schubert varieties, well, they're closed by definition, and this is just some union of these, so in particular these ZD are closed. All right, which is one thing we needed for our, this fact. We need that these YI are closed. And what's the difference between two of these? So ZD take away ZD minus 1. Right? Well, this is just the union over all the permutations of length exactly equal to D. Right? But remember what these Schubert cells look like. So these Schubert cells were all affine spaces, right? Corresponding to C to the length of W. So we fix the length of W, so this is just some union of affine spaces. So this is also what we needed in this proposition, that this difference was a disjoint union of affine spaces. So now we can just apply this fact in cohomology. So therefore, the classes of the closures of these pieces, these CDs, these cells that occur in this decomposition, but these closures of these cells are just exactly our Schubert varieties. These give a basis for the cohomology ring of the Flag variety. Right, so we want to, just some notation, so we want to define some classes that we're going to work with. We actually, for some sort of technical reasons, want to use the dual Schubert varieties, but from the following lemma, this is basically the same thing. So let's let W0 be the longest permutation. So this is just the permutation M minus 1 all the way down to 1. So we have the following proposition, that the class of the dual Schubert variety corresponding to W is just the same as the class of the Schubert variety corresponding to W check, where W check is W0W. And there's another way of describing this. So W check of I is just M plus 1 minus WI. Right, so using a basis in terms of the Schubert varieties or the dual Schubert varieties, both of them give a basis because of this relationship between the two. So then we define the Schubert classes. We have one for each permutation, and we'll denote it sigma W, and this will be just the class of this dual Schubert variety, or equivalently, the class of the Schubert variety for this dual partition. And so we know what degree it sits in, right? Remember that the dimension of this dual Schubert variety, did I write this? So you can see from this very explicit description that the dimension of this dual Schubert variety is n. Remember, n is the dimension of the flag variety minus the length of the permutation. So these sit inside, so the codimension of these is the length of the permutation. So they lie inside H2LW of our flag variety. And we know that these give a basis, right? So in some sense, we've described the cohomology ring, but all we've done is describe it, given a basis. We haven't talked about the ring structure yet. So this is what we want to do. We want to talk about the ring structure. So
what you just changed?
No, n is the dimension of the flag variety. Right, so let me keep this matrix on the board for the following fact. So we can already say something about this product in the cohomology ring. So in particular, the product, so say we have two permutations of the same length. Then we have the following, that the intersection of the Schubert, of the class corresponding to the Schubert variety for the permutation V, if we pair it with the dual Schubert class corresponding to the permutation W, we get either 1 or 0. And we get 1 if these two permutations are equal, and 0 if they're not equal. So this is not so hard to see. I'll maybe hand-wavy sketch it. So remember, we use this property here, which this one. If we have two sub-varieties, then if we want to compute this pairing, this intersection product, we can see how many points they intersect in, provided that this intersection is transverse. So how are these two? So you have to do a little bit of work. So for instance, first you can show that when these things intersect, the only place they can intersect is on this Schubert cell, right, whose closure is these various varieties. And the Schubert cells are just described by these types of matrices. And when will these intersect? I mean, when is this matrix the same as this matrix? Right, they're both for the same permutation. Well, this only happens when all the start entries are zero. Right, so we have this one intersection point, which is the flags whose matrix is just given by this permutation matrix. And these are exactly this torus fixed points that Megumi was talking about. So these dual Schubert varieties intersect exactly in this one point if these permutations are equal, and they don't intersect if the permutations are different, which is how we get this formula here. But we want to do more than this. We want to give a description of this ring, this cohomology ring. We have this product. We wanted to give a description of this ring in terms of generators and relations. So first we want to describe the generators. So we have the following generators. So the cohomology ring of this flag variety is generated by some basic classes. So we'll call these x1 up through xm, and they sit inside the degree 2 cohomology of this flag variety. So let's describe these. We want to describe these generators for the cohomology ring, and then we can give some relations that they satisfy and give some very explicit description of the cohomology ring. So to do that, we need to talk about vector bundles briefly. So we have some natural vector bundle over the flag variety, where I is between 1 and m. So this is a vector bundle of rank I. And the fiber of any flag is just the ith step in the flag. Right, so fiber over a flag E bullet is just the ith step in the flag. So this gives us a natural vector bundle of rank I over our flag variety. So, and each of these vector bundles is sitting inside each other. So we get this filtration. So we have U0, which is just the zero bundle, sitting inside U1, et cetera, all the way up to UM. But what is UM? So for UM, this vector bundle of rank M above any flag is just CM. It's always the same. So this last one is a trivial vector bundle. So this is just CM across the flag variety. All right, so we get this filtration of this trivial vector bundle. So then we can consider quotients. So we let Li be Ui mod Ui minus 1. So this is a line bundle. Right? So we have M of these line bundles. So, and to each line bundle, we can associate some class in this homology. This is called the first Kurt-Chern class of a line bundle. So we let Xi be these Chern classes, well, minus these Chern classes. So this is the first Chern class of this line bundle. So for people who may be not so familiar with Chern classes, let me just state sort of very hand-wavy what they are. So we have some variety, which in our case is this flag variety, this M-step flag variety, and we have some line bundle over it. Right? So for each point, we've got some one-dimensional vector space. Then the Chern class, there's some nice section of this Chern class, some section S, and we can take the look at where this section intersects the zero section. Right, so this carves out some subvariety of our flag variety. So in our case, it's these 2 points here. But in general, it's going to be some codimension 2 subvariety of this flag variety FM. So we have, when we have some codimension 2 subvariety, we can take its class in the cohomology, and this is precisely the first Chern class of this line bundle. And we take a minus sign. So the important thing is just that we have these natural elements of this degree 2 cohomology coming from this vector bundle. So if you don't know about vector bundles and these sorts of things, you can sort of forget this and just remember that we have these M nice classes in our degree 2 cohomology. And these, turns out, generate the whole cohomology ring. This is a set of generators. So we need to know the relations for these generators. So the relations are, in terms of some very familiar objects, just the elementary symmetric polynomials. So let's recall what those are. Ek of x1 up through xm is the kth elementary symmetric polynomial. So remember that this is the sum of all xi1, xi2, etc., up to xik for distinct indices. So i1 less than i2, etc., up to ik, which will be less than or equal to m. Right, so these are these elementary symmetric polynomials. And it turns out that these exactly give the relations for the cohomology ring for the flag variety. So a proposition that the cohomology ring of the flag variety is exactly isomorphic to the following ring. So we'll call it Rm, and by definition, this is just the ring on m variables, right, which we think of being these m classes in our second degree cohomology, mod out by these relations given by the elementary symmetric polynomials. Right, so we have this very concrete presentation now of the cohomology ring of the flag variety. And in particular, we can use this presentation to give a sort of an algebraic basis of this ring. So our basis is the following. X1 to the I1, X2 to the I2, up to Xm to the Im, with I sub j being less than or equal to m minus j, form a Z basis for this cohomology ring. Is there a box of chalk here somewhere? Or these are all little stubs now. perfect. All right, so, I mean, this is just a purely algebraic fact. All right, if we have this ring with these relations, it turns out that these monomials form a basis for this ring. So this is a purely algebraic fact. So now we have two different bases for this homology or cohomology ring. So what are our two bases? So we have this one basis that's given by these Schubert classes. Right, so we'll call that the geometric basis. So this is given by these Schubert classes. And then we have this algebraic basis, which is given by the above proposition. So in terms of these elements of the degree 2 cohomology, so our algebraic basis is by x1 to the i1, x2 to the i2, etc. up to xm to the im for ij less than or equal to m minus j. So a natural question once we have these two bases is to find some relationship between these two bases, right? So in particular, we want to take some Schubert class and we want to express it as some linear combination of this algebraic basis, right? And the answer will be these very nice polynomials called Schubert polynomials. So to do this, we need to do a little bit more work. So we can embed one flag variety into another flag variety very easily. So we'll call this map iota, maps fm into fm plus 1. So this is the same thing, flags inside cm plus 1. And so the embedding just the following. We take some flag whose steps are i1 up through im, and we just map that to, so let's, just to be explicit, so cm plus 1 where these flags are sitting, we view as the cm where these flags are sitting plus one other copy of c. All right, so we choose the splitting. So then we send this flag to the flag e1 plus 0 sitting inside e2 plus 0, etc., sitting inside em plus 0, right? And this is, remember, em is just all of cm. And then our last step is just this whole thing. All right, so we can embed one flag variety into the other in this way. So this, so we identify this flag variety fm as the subvariety of flags in cm plus 1 with mth step, this particular cm that we've picked by this splitting. And this embedding, it turns out, is going to behave very well with respect to these classes that we've defined here, because it's such a natural embedding. So, first of all, we can regard the symmetric group on M letters as a subgroup of the symmetric group on M plus 1 letters as the permutations that fix M plus 1. All right, so we also have some natural embedding here. And then we have the following very nice fact. So it turns out that this map, and this is easy to see directly from the definition of the Schubert varieties, that if, I should specify W sitting inside Fm, and now this is some Schubert variety in Fm, and we map it to some subvariety in Fm plus 1, and it turns out that it lands exactly on this Schubert cell again. Right? So we have this embedding behaves nicely with respect to this decomposition in terms of Schubert cells. And, I mean, it follows directly from this, that it also maps the Schubert variety, the closure, to the corresponding Schubert variety inside Fm plus 1. So now remember, one of our facts about cohomology was whenever we had some continuous map like this, this gave some pullback homomorphism on cohomology. So we have the pullback homomorphism iota star from H 2D, and remember it preserves degree, so H 2D Fm plus 1 to H 2D Fm. And then we have the following nice proposition, which basically follows from these facts, that iota star of this Schubert class, so I'll write M plus 1 here just to note that it's the Schubert class and the cohomology of the M plus 1 step flag variety, but it just exactly lands on the Schubert class and M step flag variety. So we have this nice property. And again, this is for some permutation in Fm. Otherwise, I mean, if it was in the larger group Fm plus 1, it didn't sit inside Fm, then this is not defined. So this is why we have this condition. And also, it maps these basic classes to each other for one, for I between 1 and M, and it maps the M plus 1th basic class to 0. So this map on flag varieties behaves very nicely with these, with respect to these Schubert classes and these Schubert varieties that we define. So this allows us to do something nice. So first of all, let's remember that we can embed the, well, not embed, but we have this natural map, sorry, surjection. Remember, whenever you define symmetric functions, you define symmetric polynomials of a certain degree, and then you have this nest of maps that sets each of the variables equal to 0, and you take limits, and you get things like sure functions from sure polynomials. So we mimic this process, so we can define some map from Rm plus 1 to Rm just by setting this m plus 1 variable equal to 0. So it takes xi to xi for I between 1 and m, and it takes xm plus 1 to 0. So then by this proposition up here, we have this following commutative diagram. We have Rm plus 1 by this map maps to Rm. But then we have that Rm plus 1 is isomorphic to the cohomology of the M plus 1 stack flag variety. And then we have this pullback homomorphism to the cohomology of the M step flag variety. And we have this isomorphism down here. And this is a commutative diagram, right, of rings. So now we can use this to define the Schubert polynomials. So remember our goal. I mean, why were we doing this? So our goal was to find the explicit relationship between these two bases and the cohomology. So we want to take some geometric basis element, some Schubert class, and we want to write it as a linear combination of these monomials. And this linear combination of monomials is going to be exactly the Schubert polynomials that I'm about to define. So the following proposition. Let W be some permutation in SK, and there exists a unique homogeneous polynomial of degree length of W in the polynomial ring on K variables. That maps to this Schubert class corresponding to W in the cohomology of the flag variety of M steps in H of 2 L Fm. So, and when I say maps to, it's via this map, right? We take this polynomial and we mod out, so we have this projection onto Rm, and then we have this isomorphism under the cohomology of the flag variety. So there's a unique homogeneous polynomial that maps to these Schubert classes for m greater than or equal to k. And these are exactly the Schubert polynomials. Schubert polynomial. Corresponding to this permutation, W. So, yeah, so, but we have this nice property under this map, so the Schubert polynomials will map to each other by sending these. Right. Right, but I think it's enough to have this uniqueness here. And then it'll follow that they map to each other. So there's going to be a whole lecture on Schubert polynomials, so let me not dwell on these too much, but let me just give a few examples. So, for example, if we just take the identity element, then the corresponding Schubert polynomial is just 1, right? And if we take some simple transposition, so Si, this is just the permutation that interchanges I and I plus 1, this is x1 plus x2, etc., up to xi. And if we take this longest element, W0, this is x1, m minus 1, x2, m minus 2, up to x, m minus 1. So we've sort of answered this problem, right? We've given now very explicit correspondence between these two bases. If we want to write some Schubert class in terms of this basis, we just write down the corresponding Schubert polynomial, and that exactly gives this cohomology element in terms of these. Right? So it answers this problem. Right. So this is a very good point. So there are algorithms to compute these things. So these satisfy certain properties. There's some divided difference operators, and you can sort of bootstrap your way up and compute these from lower ones. Right? So you can compute these. But there are some problems related to this. So what I didn't talk about, and I wanted to concentrate on the flag variety, but you can do a similar picture for Grassmannians. So if you do Grassmannians instead of flag varieties, then you get a similar geometric basis. But now it's by permutations. Partitions. Right, so we get some class corresponding to a partition, and if we're in the Grassmannian, so Alex mentioned this a bit, so if we're in the Grassmannian of n planes and k space, then these partitions should fit inside a k by n minus k box, right? Or maybe I've got it backwards, but fit inside some box, and this gives us a geometric basis in very similar way that we get this geometric basis here for permutations. Now, it turns out in Grassmannians, so the next natural problem, so we've got this description in terms of generators or relations. We've also got this geometric basis. We've now got, well, up to computing these polynomials, an explicit relationship between the two. So the next question is, say you want to take two of these classes, these Schubert classes, and multiply them together and write this as some linear combination of the Schubert classes, right? Which we can do because they give a basis. So in the Grassmannian picture, there's a very nice answer to this, which Alex also mentioned. If we take two of these elements and multiply them together, these coefficients are called the Littlewood-Richardson coefficients. And there's all sorts of relations to other areas of mathematics. So Alex also mentioned that if This also gives you tensor product multiplicities. So you have representations of GN, or GLN, sorry. If you have, for GLN, for every partition, there's some representation that corresponds to this partition. And if we take the tensor product of two representations, then it turns out that the coefficients that we get when we decompose this tensor product in terms of irreducible representations, again, are exactly these same coefficients. Right? And he was discussing a little bit about the connection between these two, where this is still sort of a mysterious connection. So the way this is proved is basically by showing that these coefficients satisfy the same rules. It's not by giving a direct connection between the representation theory and this geometry. It's given more by the combinatorial properties of these coefficients. But in the case of the Grassmannian, there's a very combinatorial way to compute these coefficients. So there's various rules, so sort of all called the Littlewood-Richardson rule. Oh, also for physicists, these are called the Clebsch-Gordan coefficients, right? So for SUN, right. So this is actually where I saw them first in physics class. Clebsch-Gordan, C-L-E-B-S-C-H, I think. So there's various rules for computing these. So when Alex mentioned about the problem of sort of making this type of multiplication understanding in terms of combinatorics, these coefficients can just be written as the number of tableaux that satisfy various conditions corresponding to these partitions, or he described one in terms of these puzzles, right? So it's just the number of puzzles that satisfy certain conditions related to these partitions. Whereas it turns out, so we could ask the exact same question for the flag varieties. Right, so we could take two of these Schubert polynomials, multiply them together, and write it as a sum of other Schubert polynomials. So geometrically, this is saying, take two of these, right, so in terms of the geometry, we could just rewrite this statement, take two of these Schubert classes, multiply them together, and write it as a linear combination of other Schubert classes. But this we don't understand nearly as well. So we know from the geometry that we get some positive integers here, or non-negative, I should say. But so this suggests that there's some combinatorics going on, right? Anytime we have non-negative integers, then theoretically we should be able to describe this as counting some combinatorial objects, right? But so far we don't have a satisfying description of this. We don't have, like we do for the Grassmannians, these aren't counting some sort of puzzles or tableaux. So this is some sort of open problem in this area. So let me stop with that.